Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I am a minister, spiritual life coach, holistic nutritionist, author, and founder of Redefining You, LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And welcome to the show. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the How Now podcast. Be sure to go over to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com. Pick your favorite podcast platform and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can scroll to the bottom of the page and look for this week's banner for the show, and it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe as well. Make sure that you check out the playlist and see what's going on in my now and find out how you can fill your mental, spiritual, and physical toolboxes. Again, that is www.hownowpodcast.com. So let's get into today's show, where we're going to be talking about deep breathing, and we're going to be talking about gratitude and its effects on managing pain. And my guest is no stranger to the show. He actually was on the show back in November of 2021. So it was 2 years ago when we were still relatively new and still, you know, kind of shaking the dust off or taking the freshness off of us as a new show. And so he is back. But as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to allow him to introduce himself at this time. Go for it.
Hey guys, my name is Brian Walters. I'm a licensed massage therapist. My company is the Miracle of Massage. We are in Conyers, Georgia. We specialize in pain relief therapy. Is that enough? That works?
That works. That works. So glad to have you back. So glad to be talking about this topic of pain management and talking about how, you know, so many things that are going on in our lives, not just, you know, the manifestation of physical pain or you know, symptoms that come up that cause pain, but that there's also a mental and a spiritual piece to it as well. And so one thing that, you know, the mantra for the show this year is talking about restoration and talking about rehabilitation. And talking about ways that we can, you know, resolve issues that happen to us on a mental, physical, and spiritual level. So it's all about toolboxes. And it's all about preparing ourselves so that when we're faced with certain things that are happening in our lives, whether they be physical, mental, or spiritual, that we're prepared for them, that we have something to reach back into. So before we dive into that, tell us a little bit about what's been going on in your business over the last 2 years. What are some things that we've been seeing that are new?
I find that some things have changed significantly since COVID. A lot of people are now working from home. The figures that I've heard, it used to be 7% of Americans work from home, and now it's more than 47% work from home, including myself. We had to close down after many months of having to stay closed during COVID, and my clients just started showing up. So it became home-based on its own, for which grateful. My clients, wherever possible, to work from home because it reduces their stress level significantly. You know, think what it takes not to do an hour or 2 hours drive to work every day, what it takes not to have to sit in traffic every day. So even if it pays a little bit less, you actually benefit from all this, you know. If the weather is bad, you don't have to go out there. You know, you can still earn a living from home. And I think that was one of my biggest gratitudes for the outcome of this COVID predicament that we were in. So we look to see how we can reduce overall stress. And a big push for that is how you view it. You wear glasses, I wear glasses. We see life through the lens of those glasses. The beautiful thing is that we as human beings have the ability to choose which glasses we view life.
Yeah.
Bills are always going to be there. Negative things are always going to be there. Positive things are always going to be there. But the ones we choose to view will affect the quality of our lives. Example, I went to yesterday and a boy who fell off his bike and hurt himself and two car accidents I saw down the road, my day is going to be pretty crappy. Whereas, even though those things happen, a young child helped an old man cross the street. That was pretty cool. You know, all the things that were positive happened as well that were cool. If we choose to focus on those things, our day is pretty awesome. All things happen either way. The difference is you choose the focus and you choose the quality of your day. And as a result, you choose the quality of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's huge. That is huge. I mean, just like you said, it is. It's a different day. You know, now we're looking at how the dynamics have changed, how things have changed. And like you said, some of us being able to work from home, those of us who are, you know, have a little blending of the two, and some of us who had to go back full time, you know, and it does. It not only affects our mind, it's wear and tear on our bodies. You know, I think about, people who are in transportation. Like my brother-in-law used to be a bus driver, and you know, in New York, and the streets were crappy, and he got a lot of, he had a lot of back issues. He had a lot of pain that was, resonated back so much so that he had to retire, and then had to go through, physical therapy and things because of the wear and tear that it had on his body. I think about those of us who commute. There's wear and tear on our body, so it's not just always from a pre-existing condition, even though it can turn into a pre-existing condition. But, so many ways in which pain enters our body. And one of those ways is stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stress is something that's huge.
It's stress actually eats the body from inside out. You know, stress is that internal burnout. And we get there in endless different ways. As technology improves, we have many benefits from the improving of technology, but it also comes with its issues. Look at many people sit at a desk all day. They may be on their keyboard all day. What they don't realize is that their shoulder muscles, arm muscles, neck muscles are supporting the weight of their arms and shoulders all day.
Yeah.
If you ever try to hold a fist closed, you can't hold it for longer than 2 minutes. Wow. Your muscles are designed to make an action and immediately relax. Not make an action and hold it for 8 hours, 12 hours, or however long you're at. The injuries we get are people with neck and shoulder injuries. Because we can break down and understand the different issues, what's causing that injury, we can come up with solutions that you can still get the job done, but not injure your body at the same time. A simple thing like a chair with an adjustable armrest You adjust the armrest so your arms are resting on the armrests, and now all that pressure on your neck and shoulders no longer there.
Yeah.
It will slow down your typing speed. Yes, your hands are hanging over the type board. But you don't come to see me every week anymore, which is a good thing for you, not so much for me. A lot of these things that are stressful have a practical solution. I'm sure not all of them do, but a lot of them are practical solution. What we work on doing is identifying what that solution is. So you can continue to earn, but not injure yourself at the same time.
Right. It's a lot. Just like you said, you know, ergonomic chairs. You know, when you're working from home, you may not have that right away. You may be sitting at a living room chair, or dining room. Like you said, you're hunched over. You have a lot of people who are in customer service who, like you said, are on the phone or on the computer all day, who suffer from osteo and rheumatoid arthritis and other things like that, or have those stressors that settle in their neck and in their back, and, you know, carpal tunnel from, you know, years and years of typing and things like that. So there are just so many ways in which, you know, the pain develops. And then, like I said, with the addition of stress, it settles in. You know, I think about those people who, you know, when they go on vacation, it's like all of a sudden their neck releases, their back doesn't hurt as much. But then as soon as they come back, it knots right back up. And I think about, you know, you as a masseuse and you know, being able to you know, do the massage and feel the knots in people's necks and backs. Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about how that affects people when, you know, when they're dealing with stressors on top of the physical, you know, keyboards and all of those other things.
There, from my point of my side of it, yes, I get to feel the muscle tightness. I feel what we call knots. And yes, there are most cases we can release those. But it defeats the purpose of releasing it if you're still doing the same habit to create it. I mean, I've literally seen someone who, with neck and shoulder muscles locked up, and we released them. And before she was leaving, she was talking of the stress she has in her marriage. And I could literally see them tightening back up. So not just releasing them, but looking to see what caused that in the first place. There are a lot of times people who work on the phone will put the phone on their shoulders and hold up a shoulder.
Right.
Okay. Well, that might be all right for 2 minutes, but if you do that repeatedly, it creates damage. You mentioned carpal tunnel syndrome earlier. I found that not all, but I think I can say a majority of cases in my career are not actually carpal tunnel syndrome. The carpal tunnel syndrome is in your hand, the palm of your hand being compressed across the base of the thumb, which is where the tunnel supposedly is. Carpal tunnel syndrome is nerve compression, but most of the nerve compression I've seen starts with the neck and shoulder. A lot of medical people, if they realize the person's diagnosis as pain in the arm or in the hand, they automatically figure it's carpal syndrome.
Right.
Years ago, a gentleman came in for some reason, but he was wearing a sling, which was not the reason he came in. And I asked him to carpal tunnel syndrome. They operated on him 3 times. They promised him no more pain and full function of his hand. He still has a 10 out of 10 pain, and he has no function of his right hand anymore. With his permission, I asked permission to touch his chest. He agreed. I pressed on his chest with 2 fingers for about a minute. And when I release, the pain in his arm came down from 10 out of 10 to 12 out of 10. He did not have carpal tunnel syndrome, but the surgeries have now rendered his right hand totally useless. The problem he had was the nerve was being compressed right at the top of his chest. But it followed the nerve route to the end of the limb. So the doctors assumed that was his problem. That wasn't his problem. That was sort of maybe a session or two. So one of the things that drives me most is trying to get people to realize that when you go to the doctor and you get a diagnosis, take the time to ask the doctor, what are the issue symptoms? Because many times there are two or three other issues that can cause very similar symptoms. And those symptoms and those issues might not require surgery. So for less aggravation and pain and money, check on those symptoms first. And if one of those solved the problem, guess what? You didn't have to go do surgery.
Right.
But they say to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So if I'm a surgeon, your car flat tire, you need surgery.
Right. Wow. Yeah, but I think that it's important, like you said, that you know, you're knowledgeable. We have to definitely advocate for ourselves and ask the questions, you know, so that or seek second opinions, especially if it's something where they're getting to that point of moving towards the option of surgery. You know, you want to find out what you can do, and I think that's mm-hmm. some of where, you know, when we go to the doctor now and we're filling out the little form before we go in and see the doctor, and they ask how you're doing, what's going on, do you feel suicidal, all these other things, because they realize that there's a connection between, you know, what's going on in your physical body and some of the things that may be going on mentally with you. And so, you know, just like you said, it's having that conversation. It's not just going in and you know, just saying, ow, my arm hurts, and then they say, all right, we're just going to put a cast on it. Wait a minute. Can we talk about the circumstances as to why it hurts? It's like you said, you have to ask the questions, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to look at the whole picture. And, you know, there are times that, well, as a massage therapist, I'm not allowed to diagnose. That's the official line. But we do it every day. We have to come up with some diagnosis to know what we're going to work on and how we're going to work. So there are times when I'll think one thing, and then in further conversation, the person mentions something. I say, wait a minute. Wait. Let's back. That's a whole different ball game, you know? So I know some of my clients get tired of answering, you know, 2 million questions. But those questions help to narrow down what is actually going on.
Right. Yeah. And that's key. Just like you said, it's a conversation. You're a partnership. You're working together to determine, okay, what's going to be the best mode of care for me? And it's going to involve both of you because, like I said, you're going to help with the care. But then once I step out that door, I need to know what to do after I step out that door until the next time I come and see you.
That's critical. What I do is, you know, when I have the time, I reach out to someone the first, second, and third day after the treatment, just to get an update, how they're feeling, what we do, we need to change something, do we need to add an extra stretch or that thing. Each person's body and each person's response is different. You know, it's not a case of you walk to the door, adios, we'll see you next time. You know, we literally need to that place of healing that you're aiming for.
Right. And I believe that's the end result. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier, That's the idea. Going back to the focus, though, that gratitude focus, simple thing I do in the mornings, I've done it for years now, is when I wake up, I thank God for the fact that I'm awake. You know, not take that for granted. The fact that possibility, you know, not winter and I'm warm and tucked in my bed, you know, thinking of the tons of people are under the bridge, you know, not tucked in, not warm, being rained on. My son asked recently, you know, why are you always in a good mood? I don't really view it as a good mood. I just view it as this is the mindset. These are the lenses I choose to view life, you know. And an analogy I give you often is, you know, you go to the dollar store, they have the event, helium balloons in the corner.
Yes.
Happy birthday, anniversary, that kind of thing. And you put on a string of this, you pay, you take it home. If you pull on the one that says gratitude, that balloon is so huge that you can't really put any other one beside it. In a place of gratitude, all negativity disappears. Yeah. You can't be sad beside gratitude. You can't be anxious beside gratitude. You can't have any negative feeling or emotion beside gratitude. So if you choose gratitude, that's all your outlook for the day. So someone will say, well, does that mean you don't have a bad day? Pretty much, yes. There'll be ups and downs during the day, but they're not devastating if you're viewing it through the lens of gratitude. Because there's always a view of gratitude to be had. And there are times when you have to search for it. You know, people will say, oh, the weather is bad. It's pouring rain. Yeah, well, would you like to miss this day?
Right.
What's the option? You miss it, you're no longer here. It's going to rain cold. You'll survive it just fine. Or people say, oh, it's too hot. Wasn't hot, it was cold yesterday. You know, in all places, go to the place of gratitude and life even more beautifully. You know, good friends spending a day with you or an hour with you or someone giving you a compliment. You know, the more you appreciate that, the more you find things to appreciate. You had asked me earlier about how it affects pain. In a negative place, pain hurts more. Whatever you do in life tends to multiply on itself. So if you're viewing from the point of view of gratitude, yes, you'll still have pain if pain is there to be had. But it's much greater. It feels much greater to the body from a place of anything but gratitude. You have pain. Gratitude tells you you have pain, and you can have pain because you're alive. If you're not here, you probably don't have pain. You know, you have pain, but you didn't always have pain. So you're working yourself back to the place of no pain. And the fact that you're here, you can do that. The fact that you're here and you can express where pain is gives you options to find a practitioner that can help you get rid of that pain. And the list just goes on. Be grateful for pain. That's easier said than done. But be grateful for pain because it lets you know that something is wrong. Most times, pain, you wouldn't be alerted to it. You're walking down the road and just drop.
That's right.
That would not be cool.
Yes. That's right.
That's why they put that, what they got, warning light on your dashboard
That's
to let
right.
you know something is wrong. That's where the body comes with its own one night.
That's right. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's all about perspective. Just like we said, it is all about perspective. I didn't think about it that way, but that's true. If I didn't have pain, then I wouldn't get that signal. I wouldn't get, like you said, like that indicator light that comes on, like, uh-oh, something's about to happen. This is a warning. And so, yes, you know, you do want to be grateful for the pain in that regard, because it's letting you know that as the pain intensifies, that's letting me know that something is getting worse. As the pain lessens, it's letting me know that something is getting a little better, or that, you know, at least I'm aware that something is going on in my body and it needs to be treated, or it needs to, their attention needs to be brought to that. So just like you said, that's wonderful advice, because it is, it's about perspective. I never thought about it that way. You know, be grateful for the pain, because it's telling us something. But yeah, that's neat. I did not think of it that way.
Yes, yeah, it's definitely an alert, you know, and you know, with that alert, when someone comes, explain to me where it is when it comes on, that kind of thing, then we start narrowing down what can cause that.
Right. That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. And another thing that we were talking about with regards to, you know, we talked about gratitude. We also were talking about, you know, deep breathing and other types of things that we can do, you know, when we're, you know, experiencing pain, and what are some things that we can put into our physical toolbox that can help us when we're experiencing that pain. And one of those things, and it's something that I know that you've spoken about through your website, was talking about deep breathing. So talk to me a little bit about that.
When my kids were being born, I went to this Lamaze class, got my little Lamaze certificate, went into the room and told my wife back then about, you know, cleansing breath, and not just my wife, but all the other women who were pregnant in the room told me about myself. So I realized that wasn't my place. I needed to stay there and be abused, and that was it. Deep breathing has endless benefits. What a lot of people may not know is deep breathing gets more air into the body, therefore more oxygen into the body, oxygen to the brain. More oxygen to the brain helps the brain grow and heal and do all the things it needs to do. Deep breathing helps operate the lymphatic system. Lymphatic system is, how best to describe that? It's somewhat like a vein system immediately underneath the skin. When we exercise, when we exert our bodies, our hearts pump faster, and that increased pressure that it creates off our cells into the area between the cells, in the area. Body has to have a way to get that liquid back in the cells when we calm down. And the way it does it is by getting the lymphatic system to absorb that liquid and work it back to the system, which is all lymph nodes, back into our cells. Is run by activity and deep breathing. So those of us who don't practice deep breathing don't get the maximum benefits of it. Lymphatic system, not one swollen leg or swollen arm or something. That's one of the reasons the times we know the lymphatic system is not operating properly in that limb. By deep breathing, it gives the body to focus on instead of the pain. So there are times when I'm going through a procedure that I know it's going to hurt the person. If they can focus on their breathing, It reduces the focus on the pain that the person is processing till we can get them better. Deep breathing works great for posture. It's almost impossible to take a nice deep breath if you're hunched over, because your diaphragm can't rise for you. Forced to sit up or stand up erect to be able to take a deep breath. For those who meditate, deep breathing helps, the focus on deep breathing helps to take you to that place of calm, of stillness, that place where you can pray and reflect, or you can just. Literally endless benefits to deep breathing.
Yes, yes.
You know?
That's how you said, that's huge. Yeah, you said you talk about the lymph and you know, right under the surface of your skin. I'm very familiar with that because, you know, having recently had surgery, I know how important it is as you're healing, as your cells are coming back together and you know, you're beginning to regenerate and to do the things that they need to do. It's so important, like you said, that our lymphatic system is working properly, because that's going to assist in the healing. And just like you said, you know, you may have a little tingling sensation as those cells are coming back together, but that lymphatic massage, like you said, that deep breathing, all of that is so huge in helping us to be able to, like you said, manage the pain. You know, and that was a wonderful example that you gave. I didn't even think about that, of Lamaze. Just like you said, we tell me, you know, we hear that and we see that, you know, even in television shows, all these, the women who are, you know, going through labor and they're breathing heavy and they're doing that. And yes, it does help to ease the pain. I didn't even make the connection there. Okay, so we're learning some things today. What are you talking about? Being able to refocus our energy and our mind on, okay, my mind is off of that pain for the moment, because I have to focus on that breathing. Like you said, with posture, being able to take in that deep and cleansing breath. And even that helps even in the space of relieving that stress. You know, sometimes you just say, okay, I just need to take a minute and take a deep breath and refocus and recenter. So yes, like you said, breathing is huge. It is huge. So like I said, we've talked about the deep breathing. We've talked about, you know, expressing gratitude and being grateful for having that pain, as it alerts us to things that are going on in our body and the magnitude of how great that pain is, or if it's something that is subsiding. There are just so many things. You know, the body is a beast. It's a beast, and it tells us so many things. And so what are some of the things that you've been seeing in your practice of late with regards to massage? Are there more things that you're seeing with regards to people's, people having pain management because of the technology, or has some of it been more from pre-existing conditions? Is there a certain surge that you're seeing in a particular form of pain management that you're addressing more recently, or is it still pretty much static?
One thing I've noticed that's pretty outstanding, mostly after COVID era, is that the number of people who come in now with sciatica, different versions of sciatica, is pretty amazing. Before COVID, I'd probably work with maybe 1 in 25 or 1 in 30 persons might have sciatica. But now we're 4 or 5 people come through the door have sciatica. During cold long periods, for long periods of time, yeah, that's possible too. I can't come up with a more relevant reason. People have sciatica now, and a lot of times sciatica to be in a straight line from your butt going down your leg to your knee or down to your feet. Mm-hmm. Experiences taught me that sciatica can be anywhere along the nerve route. Years ago, I worked with a gentleman who had heel pain. And he went to a podiatrist, he went to a surgeon, he came to us. Eventually, not knowing what was causing his heel pain, he went away immediately. His heel is at the end of the sciatic nerve. So I realized not have to be in a straight line, it could be anywhere along the nerve. I've had people who've had sciatica just in the knee. And as a result, they've gone to doctors back and forth for knee pain. And so we do that a lot now. That's actually, you know, a major part of what we do, treat people with sciatica. And the scary part is some of the clients claim, I can't even imagine that pain for 3-4 years. Wow. Oh, they ship him in laying across seat. He couldn't sit. Our worst client, it took us 10 visits to get him pain-free. That was the worst, you know? So for the tons of people who are suffering from that, if so, what the treatment is, you know? Then there are many of them who are, they send them to physical therapy or they're giving them injections. You know, 4, 5, 6 injections have not worked. We need to try something different. Wow. The limit to how many injections you can take before the body starts to rebel.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's a major thing that I've seen change recently.
With sciatica. Yeah, I'm
so
sure.
So many people have it. It's unreal.
Yeah. And then I know it, some of it has to do with you know, inactivity, our you know, diet, exercise, you know, our weight, you know, can access, you know, can exacerbate, you know, the situation or, you know, cause things to you know, like you said, be out of alignment, you know, and so, you know, for those who are experiencing some type of pain, you know, as a massage therapist, you know, when should they seek to come to you? Do they come to you after they've gone to physical therapy or when they're starting to have some level of pain? When is an ideal time for a person who is having some type of pain to come to a massage therapist to start, you know, looking for solutions to their pain management?
Well, I'm a massage therapist, so I'm going to say come see us first. My view on physical therapy is retraining the body to do what it's supposed to do the way it's supposed to do it.
Yes.
My own personal view on physical therapy. And physical therapy is awesome. If you break your arm, God forbid, physical therapy does not help until the bone is healed. And a lot of times we put the cart before the horse. It's a natural thing for doctors to ship people out to physical therapy.
Right.
But you have to heal the entity first, and it needs to do. Tons of times people don't do it that way.
Gotcha.
You know, it's an automatic, you know, referral to physical therapy.
Right.
And we get people for like the example of the broken bone, when it's not working at physical therapy, that's when we get them. We have to explain, okay, this has to heal first.
Right.
So a lot of times we need to do what we need to do here first and then physical functionality of it.
Right. That makes sense. And that's that, just like you said, when I had my surgery, the first thing they said was, you know, immediately following that, you need to do lymph massages. Like you said, that's a part of preparing the body until it gets to that place where you can start again, learn retraining your body to you know, use that muscle, use those muscles, you know, the way you used to. So that's a part of the restoration process. But I mean, it definitely makes sense to be able to do that portion first, to do that massage first, to get the conditioning and the stretching and the things that need to be done first, so that way, as it's healing, then we can talk about the functionality of it. That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, that's an excellent
Yeah.
question. So y'all go to him first.
Yeah, come see us first. And if it's something, we have no problem referring out. We're going to look to see what's your best move. There are times people have come to me and said, okay, first I needed to see a chiropractor. And I know at least 10 chiropractors if they need a referral. Do they still need my help? Yes. But I look to see what's, where we'll get them pain-free the fastest. And if that's a chiropractor, let's do that first. And then you also maybe remind that people have limited funds. I assume people have limited So if the chiropractor needs to be their first visit, and I call it those the visit that's most important to them.
So it's just a matter of making sure that they figure out the best course of action. And it's like you said, it's about asking the questions. It all comes back to advocacy. It all comes back to saying, okay, what is going to be the best thing for me to do? What is going to be the most time and cost effective way that I can manage this pain? And then again, what are some of the outliers? What are some of the things that I can do on an exterior level? Like you said, through gratitude, through breathing, through things like that I can do to assist in the process as well, either until they get to a professional such as yourself or a physical therapist or whatever that team of pain management consists of. And the one thing that I love about that is that it all comes down to touch. I know sometimes, we talk about people who are taking medications, and sometimes I feel like the medication masks the pain. It masks it, and so you don't feel it. But then if you don't feel it, how do you know if it's getting better or worse? And so I love that when we talk about massage and when we talk about therapy like that, it's about touch. It's about being able to feel things going on within the body. And to be able to identify them that way. So I think there's a lot of strength in that, huh?
When you mentioned pain management, for the fix and we need to manage, I'm all for it. But I think a lot of practitioners, their goal is pain management. Our goal is pain relief, zero pain. Pain management, that strikes me as a lower goal. And if you achieve it, the person still has pain. If you shoot for 100% pain relief, if you achieve it, there's no pain, which is what we should be, where we should be anyway.
Makes sense.
It seems like a minor thing, but if your goal is not high enough, you can't achieve what you need to achieve. I can't think of any patient who I asked, you want to manage the pain or you want the pain gone? Nobody's going to say manage the pain.
You're right.
Medication is important. It helps us to get through to a better place. Most of the times when someone feels pain, the doctors prescribe muscle relaxers and painkillers. Needs to be an understanding that fixes what I call it. It gives the zombie effect. So if your brain is operating 100%, therefore is not 100%. This is why they tell you on some medications, do not operate a vehicle or machinery. So when that we're, so you just created a cycle of medication, zombie effect, medication, zombie effect, medication. How does that actually fix the problem? How does that even address the problem?
You're right.
But our entire system seems to be set on that. And then there's a complaint, well, 200 people are on opioids. So, you know, we got to cut back. But they've been on it for years now. That's how are you going to cut back on it?
Right.
You know,
the addiction
so
is there.
Here we actually look to see what's causing the pain. Yeah. Let's see what's causing the pain. If we can find a way to identify what's causing it, it's fixable, let's fix it.
That's it. That's it. I love that. That is a key thing that you're saying there. All this time I'm talking about pain management, but just like you said, it's about pain relief, about it being gone, you know, and that's true. We don't want it. That is the lesser goal to talk about pain management. So I am so glad that you, mm-hmm. that you made mention of that because, you know, look, I stand corrected on that. It is. It is about pain relief. We want the pain gone. We definitely do not want the pain to remain or just figure out how to provide maintenance for it. No, we want it gone. So that definitely is a key point that you make mm-hmm. there. We want it to be about that pain relief. What can we do to achieve that? So thank you for bringing that to our attention.
And knowledge is power.
Yes.
Knowledge is power. A lot of people don't know of massage for pain relief. You know, they see massage therapy on television and, you know, someone is shopping and that kind of thing, and you have the kind of stuff. I remember years ago when I worked in the Cobb County, I went for a license for relief massage. The person behind the desk told me there's no such thing.
Right.
And so we went back and forth. It's like, okay, so the relief massage is like, that took me several trips to get that license. So a big thing is that most people don't and pass word. All of us know at least 10 sort of no. But we had a lady recently literally paid for a co-worker to come in. She saw the co-worker walking across the office every day, literally with tears coming down on a walker. Co-worker's paying
for it. Right. Because I think some people see yeah. massage.
I mean,
they see it as oh, I'm going to get a massage. I'm going to get my nails done, mani-pedi. I'm going to go get a massage. And they don't realize the power that it has medicinally, you know, to help in, like you said, that pain relief. It's not just, you know, oh, you know, yes, it's nice for the stressors and actually get some of those knots out, but for that long-term care and then also eventually, you know, eradicating that pain, you know, massage is a key factor in that, you know? And I think that needs to, you know, be at the forefront of people's mind, that is part of that team of professionals that can help to, you know, assist in eradicating it. It's not just, you know, something that you do just, you know, for a spa day. There's so much more to massage and mm-hmm. and what it can achieve. And you know, that's what I hope platforms like this will, you know, bring to people's attention, that there's so much more in that process of healing that massage brings. So I'm happy that you're here. I'm happy that you're here to talk about it.
There's a simple thing I appreciate it. There are simple things like people who will toss and turn at night trying to get a comfortable place to sleep. And they come in there and realize their shoulder muscles, neck and shoulder muscles are extremely inflamed. And they change the pillow. One lady brought in a $300 pillow and not realizing that, you know, she sleeps on her side. Therefore, the space between the side of the head and the bed is going to be my length here is going to be different. So one pillow is not the idea. The pillow is you fold it to your neck and vertebrae straight when you're laying on your side. You know, One lady, I worked on her neck and shoulder muscles. She doesn't sleep more than 3 hours per night. And she went home and slept 14 hours.
Wow.
Wow. Very seldom like to be the pillow. You know, but if your neck and shoulders feel stiff, especially if you have a high pain tolerance.
Yes.
People with high pain tolerance think of this. People with the exact pain, low pain tolerance, think in terms of hurts like hell. So people with high pain tolerance tend to get injured because it's a bit stiff, so I can go another day.
Right.
You know, so if you have a high pain tolerance, you have to know how your brain thinks.
Yes.
Your brain doesn't think in terms of pain. By the time your brain thinks in terms of pain, you've done some major damage.
Yeah.
So yeah. Tightness or stiffness are your words for pain. If you feel tightness or stiffness and you have a high pain tolerance, go get help.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a matter of, like you said, it's just a matter of having that level of awareness and being able, you know, and having the wherewithal to ask for help and look for it in the right places, you know? And so you said, it starts with talking to your, you know, health team, have a team of professionals and be able to ask those questions so that they can better guide you in the way that's going to take you to the result that you're looking for. So, you know, like I said, this has been a powerful conversation, Brian, and talking about massage and talking about deep breathing and talking about, you know, being able to express gratitude for that pain and for that level of awareness. You know, because it's so important that as we go through our wellness journey, we know how best to advocate again for ourselves and for our care and for, you know, getting in that space of optimal health, because it all comes back to quality of life. How do we want to live? How do we want to, to spend the rest of our days? Do we want to spend them in chronic pain, or do we want to spend them, you know, being able to you know, enjoy the things that are out there, to be able to walk and to be able to hike and to be able to do all of these things, you know, that bring us out to nature, and those things are critical. So as we're wrapping things up, I'm sorry, go ahead, because I know I want to give you an opportunity to, you know, give some final words on the importance of massage and the importance of, you know, the whole aspect of overall health.
Slightly different. I would emphasize visualization. You know, when an athlete's about to run a race, for example, the athlete gets to a still place and visualizes the execution of this race all the way to finishing first. It's a biblical thing. I rephrase it by saying, only see the way you want things to be. So you have to identify what it is that you want, how you want it to be, how you want to feel. You have to identify that and give your mind the framework to use. If not, you end up with anything. You know, you want to feel. Decide what you want to achieve. Decide how you want to achieve it. And process, you find whatever resources are necessary to get you to achieve that well.
Yes. And like you said, it's all about seeing the end result. Like you said, looking ahead and seeing where you want to be and beginning to navigate in that space. That is wonderful, wonderful advice. So, like, again, I want to let people know how they can get in contact with you if they're interested in a consultation. How can people get in contact with you?
The easiest way is our website, which is www.themiracleofmassage.com. Phone numbers 404-438-4477, and that comes directly to my cell. We give free consultations on phone. Call and leave a message. We'll call you back, walk you through.
Awesome. And that information will be left in the description when the show airs, so people will be able to get in contact with you. And like I said, if they're interested in a free consultation, or if they live in the Georgia area where they can come and see you, they can do so as well. Okay, now one thing that we always do at the end of the show is talk about how you are living in the now. What are you doing to navigate in this space that we're in now, here 2 years later? What are some things that you're doing to live in the now?
I guess I'm at an age now where the things that I value have changed. So great conversations with great friends, times are the most things. Hugs are awesome.
Yes, they are.
What gift you are, give me a hug, they look me crazy. You know, but those in my mind are the most valuable things now.
Yeah. It's all about that human touch. It's all about that connection. And that's something that's so beautiful. And just like you said, as time goes on, things change for us, you know? And, you know, that's the beauty of this podcast and this platform, and having people like yourself to come back on the show and talk about things that are happening now, because we know that things are not the same 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 weeks, 2 months, to 2 years from now. Things change, and we know that, and we hope that they change for the better, because as we're getting older and wiser, we're creating better versions of ourselves. And like I said, we're advocating for our health. And so these are all wonderful things that we can take with us and put in those mental, physical, and spiritual toolboxes, so that way, as we go along our journey, whatever we need, we have the tools that we need to achieve what we can, so that we're creating a better quality of life for ourselves. So thank you, Brian, so much for being here, for coming back on the show again, and for continuing to be a part of the How Now family. You know, I love you. You know, you got about a million hugs coming your way from me. I owe you a few.
Bring it.
That's it. I'm bringing it. They're coming. They're coming soon. So again, we thank you. We thank you. Any final words that you want to leave with the listeners before we go?
No, I appreciate you having me on your podcast, and we all need to just inspire for great health.
Amen. All right. And so that will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until we see you the next time, I say peace.